Thank God. Well, wasn't that good? How many of y'all believe he's faithful? Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 22. I don't know if Josh got back yet. Okay. Are you running that thing, Drew? I'll tell you when, okay? Don't worry, ain't no bombs going off or anything. Don't excite. Genesis chapter number 22. I will share this. We're going to dismiss the non-members, but if you want to stay as a non-member, we're not taking a vote this morning. We're going to show a vision this morning. And thank God. And I want you to see it. And we're also going to leave the live stream on for our members that are still at home, because I want to see it. And then about 3 weeks after you prayed, concentrated on what we'll present, then we'll bring it back to you to get a motion to proceed. Amen. And I think that's a great way of doing it. But I'm about preaching right now. Genesis chapter number 22. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. You got me, brother? Thank you. Genesis chapter number 22, verses 1 through 14. Wave your Bible at me. I want to see the Bibles. This is a great crowd, by the way. Wave them. Thank God. A couple wimps back there going like that. Genesis chapter number 22. I'm excited about what I'm going to preach on this morning. I'm going to just use this story as just a platform. I'm going to take a phrase, then I'm going to preach to you a thought that I want to give you this morning. Last Sunday night, I introduced a series, Earnestly Contending for the Faith. I'm going to preach on some of that this morning. And by the way, the best way you can know false teaching is to give the real deal. Somebody help me preach. I've been emphasizing, by the way, there's two systems that a lot of people talk about, and one of them is Arminianism. That is a religion of works. By the way, somebody help me preach. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercies have he saved us. That teaching is a false teaching. Number two, there's another system that is plaguing us today called Calvinism. Now, I'm going to be preaching a lot on that in the weeks to come, but let me just give you an overview. That system of religion says, well, God chose a certain person to be saved, and then he passed over the rest of the people, and they are predestined to be lost. Somebody help me preach. One group can be saved, and one group is destined to be lost. Ain't a thing they can do about it. But I'm glad. And by the way, let me say this to you. I don't want to rush myself this morning, but I do want to hurry on. I want to say this to you. Arminianism nor Calvinism was taught by the early church fathers. Neither one of them. Calvinism started somewhat in somewhere around 1618 to 1619. And it wasn't taught by the early fathers. The first glimpse of it was a man named Augustine. And I always pronounce that wrong, don't I, Brother Chad, but I'm doing my best. But I am glad that we got a traditional view of salvation and soteriology. And by the way, soteriology is a big word to tell you about salvation. I'll probably be preaching this morning. I could label this soteriology 101. But I'll be preaching on my God shall provide. Look at Genesis chapter. How many of you look at me and say, I'm glad God provided salvation for me. I'm glad God has supplied my needs and take care of me. Somebody say amen. Genesis chapter 22. Familiar story. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Underline that word worship, because that's the law of first mention, first time worship mentioned in the Bible. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, get this, my God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, I'm going to read verse number 9 also. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, ready to do the job of sacrifice, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord came, or called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. By the way, that word fearest is the first time in the scripture also. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy only son, from me. And now notice verse 14, I'll skip. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, and it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let me give you four things by way of introduction. I'm going somewhere. By the way, can I make a statement to you this morning? Abraham was facing a certain test. God came to him. You listen to this. God asked him. Now, all the promise, am I right, Chad? I don't know where he went. All the promise was on Isaac, and he was the promised son. And now God is saying to Abraham, take your only son. Hold it a minute. I got to stop there and run me a rabbit. Actually, that wasn't his only son. You say, well, why did God say only son? Does the Bible contradict itself? No. He had a son by a handmaid named Ishmael, and God never recognized it. Somebody help me preach. And God passed over it, and God only honored Isaac. Somebody help me preach. He said, I want you to journey to a place called Moriah. And I won't give you a lot of history lesson, but David was there on the threshing floor of Ornan. That was at Moriah. By the way, the temple is built on Mount Moriah. And on the southern end of Mount Moriah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, went and died upon that southern hill, Moriah, the same place that he was telling Abraham to go and take your son and sacrifice your son. God said, that's where Calvary's going to be. That's where the temple's going to be. By the way, that's where the new temple's going to be. Somebody help me preach. And then he constructed an altar. By the way, a lot of people don't believe in an altar, but if you study the book of Genesis, it talks a lot about an altar. And then he had a confidence in God. Boy, Isaac said, hold a minute. I mean, he's carrying the wood up. He said, wait a minute, we got the wood and we got the fire. I ain't seen no lamb. Somebody help me. And you know what he looked at him and said? Get these words. God will provide himself a lamb. God himself left heaven. God himself came to this earth. God himself came in the womb of a virgin. God himself came and shed his blood on Calvary. God supplied a lamb. He provided a lamb. Somebody help me preach. And by the way, Abraham was going to offer his son a burnt offering. You said, what's that mean? He was going to slit his throat. He was going to carve him up, drain his blood, and burn him on an altar. You said, how you know that? Because Abraham had the knife, Drew. How obedient are we today? Abraham had the knife, Drew. And as he's getting ready to slit his throat, guess what happened? An angel appeared of the Lord. Now, I don't want to get into a lot of depth here and don't want to choke you half to death, but I want you to know that angel, the Lord there that spoke, was none other than a Christ offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance, and came and said, hold it, Abraham. You don't have to do it. Because we know you've proven that you fear God. Somebody, boy, I'm going somewhere. Y'all happy yet? I'm getting happy. And then I seen the conquest. Just the time that he was ready to cut his boy's throat up the other side of the hill, whoop, came a ram. Now listen to this. I'm about ready to get goosebumps and preach right here. Thank God that ram was in the right territory. How many's glad here that God came to your territory? Hold a minute. Not only that, that ram came at the right time. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of woman, made under the law. Somebody help me preach. God had a predetermined time that the Lord Jesus would come. But oh, let me say one more thing about that ram. It was the right type. Its blood was going to be shed. And I want you to know something. There's something I want to preach on this morning, and I know I'm taking a moment or two to get there, and that is I've got a God who will provide you with salvation. Somebody say amen. He named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see to it or the Lord will provide. I'm going to ditch Arminianism and Calvinism, and I'm going to the Word of God, and I'm going to preach a word today that will show you what God's plan for the ages is, and that is the word provisionalism. My God will provide. We're all sinners, but God provides. We cannot save ourselves, but God provides. We're hopeless, but God provides. If someone needs revelation, God provides. If someone needs atonement, God provides. If someone needs love, God provides. Somebody help me preach. I'm glad I'm a servant of God who initiated salvation, who is sovereign, and who provided salvation. And I'm glad I'm serving him this morning. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you a PowerPoint. And I want to show you what we believe as Baptists about God's provision of salvation. And I'm going to use a little acrostic. You might, if you want to do it in your notes, you can. And if you want to hand out later, you can. Now, can y'all get it on this screen? Hello? I got it back. I want to hear it too. But you're doing good. You can put a little acrostic on your paper. Provide. I'm glad before the world began, God had a plan to provide. Now, first of all, look at that. Well, it left. The word P. The word P represents people sin. Look at me. If you're here lost, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, I want you to know something. That God had an arrow and pointed at a bullseye. Here's the bullseye. Perfect righteousness from the cradle to the grave. And there's not a man, woman, boy, and girl can provide perfect righteousness from the cradle to the grave. And we've all come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. People sin. What does sin do? It separates us from God and separates us from fellowship with God. R. Once you see this, speaks of responsibility or responsible. Or let me say it this way, able to respond to God's appeal for reconciliation. Here's what the Calvinists believe. You can't respond to God because you're dead like a corpse. And you can't respond to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is in error with the scripture. Because when Adam sinned and went in and hid himself, guess what happened? God came walking into the cool of the day and said, Adam, Adam. And Adam said, here I am. Adam heard the voice of God. And Adam spoke to him. I want you to hear me. If you die and go to hell this morning, you'll die and go to hell because it's your fault. You are responsible. The Bible says this, and you will not come to me that ye might have life. You know what the Calvinists say? They say you can't come. They say you can't come unless God regenerates you first. But I want you to know something. It's not that you can't come. It is that you won't come. That's proper systematic theology. That's proper soteriology. Now, you are responsible. If you die and go to hell, it won't be because he didn't shed his blood for you. It won't be because he didn't reveal truth to you. It'll be because you rejected that truth. Am I preaching? Yes, sir. Amen. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You want to send sinners to hell, and that is no, their unbelief and their lack of faith sends them to hell. Nothing else, not your drinking, not your cussing, not your pornography. But what sends sinners to hell is rejection of God. And you are responsible. Amen.
Amen. You're preaching truth, Pastor.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes.
So much error out there, somebody needs to preach truth.
Yes, sir.
Then O speaks of an open door. Jesus said, I am the door. By the way, the open door is to anyone that can enter in, but you only can enter in one way, and that is by faith.
Yes.
Let me read you a verse. By the way, Calvinists hate it, but I'm going to read it. I read this verse to a Calvinist the other day. I did. He looked at me and he said, you know what I'm talking about. He said, well, they've been arguing about that for 2,000 years. Let me read y'all the verse. How many of you believe God's got an open door? Everybody can be saved. Everybody can come to God. But you got to come to God one way, and that's by faith. Listen to this verse. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed. Hold a minute. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, I thought it was before you believe you received him that you're born again. That's a lie from the devil. I want to tell you when you receive the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you when you get regenerated is the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the moment you invite him in your life, that what happens at that very moment is you are saved, you are redeemed, you are regenerated, you are adopted. Somebody help me preach. You are glorified. You are positionally sanctified. You're on your way to heaven. Man, somebody ought to shout. Yes, the Bible said, who will have all men to be saved?
Amen.
If you go to hell today, it's not because it's God's fault. Because his will is that everybody be saved.
Amen.
And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody ought to help me preach. How many's glad for that open door? I'm glad it's a faith way by grace. Are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, faith is not a work. Because the Bible said, to him that worketh not, and his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
Then B, I'm going somewhere. How much getting something out of this?
Amen.
V stands for vicarious atonement. Whew. Hallelujah. God provides a way for anyone to be saved through the blood of Jesus. The Bible said, for he was made sin for us that knew no sin,
amen,
that we might have the righteousness of God in him. A vicarious substitute. Jesus was our substitute. He took our place. But more than that, he became sin. He became an adulterer. He became a drug addict. He became someone on pornography. He took every filthy sin upon himself, and it was all nailed to the tree. Somebody say, oh, happy day. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Somebody help me preach. How many like this little word? Aren't you glad that God provided it?
Yeah.
You can't manufacture it. The Baptist church didn't manufacture it. It's God that manufactured. Salvation belongeth unto God. Boy, I want you to get this. See, that crowd believes in irresistible grace. Not me. I believe in illuminating grace. God provides clearly revealed truth to every individual so they can respond in faith. Let me prove it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, listen, hath appeared to how many people, Chad?
All
men. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Somebody help me. To everyone that believeth. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from earth, we'll draw all men unto me. Here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. I believe faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And I believe the Holy Ghost, before you leave this planet, is going to come to you and illuminate this truth to you, and then you're going to have to make a decision. And by the way, that does not void God of 1 ounce of sovereignty. There's a crowd out there that believes this. I'll give you the last 2 points. I'm going to give you this first. They believe in what I would call determination. Here's what that means. It means that God meticulously determined and decreed everything you would do. And if that's true, and it ain't, that means God's also the author of sin. If he purposed all things by his will, and you interpreted it in that light, you believe God was the author of sin. You look at me right in my God-given eyeball. God can't be tempted of evil, and he can't tempt any man. Somebody say amen. And God is not the author of sin, but as by one man sinned into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Amen. Am I preaching?
Yes, yes.
And I believe God will give everyone ever an opportunity to get saved. If you go to hell, ma'am, if you go to hell, sir, it's because you rejected that opportunity. Somebody help me preach. Is this all right? Help me understand it. It's what I've preached for 48 years. I'm just condensing it in a little word called provide. Then D, I want you to notice what D says. Destroyed for unbelief and resisting the Holy Spirit. The Calvinists say you can't resist the Holy Spirit. They believe in irresistible grace. You cannot reject God. That's a lie from hell. The Bible said, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness of them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be damned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Now let me give you a verse. They say that false teaching says you can't resist God. You can't say no to God. Well, what about Acts 7:51? Stephen was preaching and he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. Listen to me. I had a testimony. There was years in my life I resisted the Holy Ghost. I was raised in church. I was under Sam preaching. But I resisted it. I said no to the call. And listen to me. I'm quieting down. If you say no to the call, you are on your way to hell. You are dead and you're going to go into hell. Because see, the only thing that will send you to hell is your faithlessness. See, God, there's some of you in this room. You hadn't raised your hand yet. You're saved. God's been convicting you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Please, 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 I beg you, quit resisting. Because one day if you keep it up, you are going to be destroyed. You're going to hell forever and ever. And I know in this modern society, they say don't preach on hell. But I want you to know something. If you don't get saved, that's where you're going. And then, by the way, and you're going there because your sins hadn't been paid for. Now let me give you the last one. This lady right here in the red got saved Wednesday night. This is for you and everybody else. Let me finish it with E.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Eternal security for all that place faith in Christ.
Amen.
I want you to know something. I couldn't be lost if I wanted to be.
Amen.
Somebody help. Somebody said, well, you can quit. No, you might quit church, but you can't quit God. because he will chasten you, and that's how you know you're saved. He'll chasten you and come after you and beat you about half to death, and if that don't work, he'll take you home early. Let me give you this. I'm done. Lois, you can get to the pen. For I am persuaded. How many's persuaded this morning? Come on, tell me if you're persuaded. Tell me if you know. Tell me if you know that you know that you know that you know that you, if you die today, you'd be in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. May I say to you this morning, you're here, you're lost. I'll say on the authority of the Word of God, if you come and place your faith in Christ, God will seal you to the day of redemption. You'll be saved forever and ever, and your name will be put into heaven, into the record, and they will not erase it with a number two pencil. Somebody help me preach. That, ladies and gentlemen, is soteriology 101. In a little word called provide. Bow your head with me. No one looking around in the quietness of this moment. How many of you know that you know if you died today, you know you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Hold them high. If you don't hold them. Thank you. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. I will not embarrass you. But if you're here right now and you say, Pastor, I need to place faith in Christ. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved before I die or before the Lord comes. And I want you to pray for me. Just sit right up high and just say, pray for me. Come on now. God bless that hand. Somebody else? Preacher, God's been working on me. I know I need to be saved. He showed me I'm a sinner. Just pray for me. Somebody else. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. If you couldn't raise your hand and say you're saved, I want you to slip out of your seat in the quietness of this hour. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Stand with me. Our Father, I want to pray for those that I've noticed that couldn't raise their hand. I want to pray right now that the Holy Spirit would reveal Christ to them. And Lord, that they right now, by faith, will believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and by faith come and repent of their sins and trust Christ. I pray you'll do that right now. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.